Hi, I'm Jason Wachob, founder and CEO of MindBodyGreen, the best-selling author of Wealth, and your host for the MindBodyGreen podcast, where I'll be bringing you deep and insightful dialogues with some of the greatest minds in wellness. If you like what you hear, please give us a 5-star review, comment, and share with your friends and family. And don't forget to visit us at mindbodygreen.com for your daily dose of wellness. Thanks, and enjoy the podcast.
Hi, I'm Olesa, the Chief Content Officer here at MindBodyGreen. Today, I'm excited to welcome Tia Mowry to the MBG podcast. She's an accomplished actress who was first known for starring in Sister Sister in 1994 with her real-life identical twin sister. Beyond a very busy schedule working as an actress, she's a mom to her 7-year-old son, Cree, and 8-month-old daughter, Cairo. She's also an author and wrote a cookbook called Whole New You and a pregnancy book called Oh Baby. From the young age of 12, she loved helping her mom cook in the kitchen, but today we talk about her 2006 diagnosis that spurred a life-changing food journey for her and her whole family. This led to the realization that food truly is medicine. Hi, Tia. Thank you so much for being here. We're thrilled to have you on the MindBodyGreen podcast.
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Wonderful. Well, let's get started. Of course, so many of us remember you from Sister Sister, where you starred opposite your actual sister. Your real life twin, in fact.
Twin, yep.
But more recently, people probably know you from your TV projects, maybe your new YouTube channel, or your cooking channel show, and your cookbook. So I'd love to start there. Can you tell us a little bit about how you made that leap from child star to cooking star? What got you into the food journey?
You know, I've always loved to cook ever since I was a little girl. I was in the kitchen, I would say, cooking the whole family breakfast, lunch, and dinner at the age of 12. I started out as a sous chef, should I say, for my mom, and she would trust me during the holidays. So, you know, that's basically when she would make huge meals for the family, so she would need that extra help. And if the fried chicken needed to be seasoned, she would have me do it. If the greens needed to be cut and, you know, washed, she'd have me do it. And so that's kind of like where my love for cooking started. It started out as a little bit like a chore, to be honest with you. You know, I was in the kitchen with my mom helping her out. And then once she saw that, she was like, wow, T is really good at this and she really likes it. She said, okay, well, guess what? Now for like a week at a time, I will have you cook for the whole entire family. And then we would swap with my twin sister, as you mentioned earlier, Tamara. So 1 week I would cook for the entire family. And then the next week my sister would, while my parents were at work. So that's how
impressive.
I know, right? So it started at a very, very young age when I was like in the kitchen. So
great. And then how is it as an adult that food and particularly diet became so important to you?
So food, of course, like I said, I ended up cooking in the kitchen at a very young age, 12. But when food for me turned into, should I say, medicine, was when I was diagnosed with something called endometriosis. And I was diagnosed in 2006.
And it's becoming more and more common. I think people are so much more aware of it. But can you tell us just a little bit about what it is?
Endometriosis, it's basically a highly inflammatory condition that affects the uterus. And it can cause infertility. So in 2006, you know, I was with my boyfriend at the time, who is now my husband. We got married in 2008. So my point is that, you know, having a family was definitely on my mind. And my doctor, she had told me, you have endometriosis. And I was like, what? Like, what is that? I had never heard about that. And she had told me that it can cause infertility. And in order for you to, you know, want to potentially have a child, you would have to have surgery. I ended up having 2 surgeries. It kept on coming back and coming back, which, you know, it can happen for a lot of women after surgery. The endometriosis can come back. And what I mean by that is kind of like scar tissue along the lining of the uterus. So anyway, my doctor was like, look, if you want to start a family and you know, have children and you don't want to continue to have all of these surgeries, you're going to have to change your diet. And I was like, what? Like, what do you mean? So long story short, she told me that I had to stay away from foods that caused inflammation in the body, which can be sugar, dairy, and just processed foods, just additives, etc. And so she was like, if you want to see some sort of healing in regards to, you know, this condition that you have, you're going to have to start eating, you know, foods that, you know, I call them good for you, you know, foods, kind of like miso soups, fruits and vegetables. And that's when I started to get on this wellness journey, should I say.
How did you initially feel about that switch? Was it something you were ready for? Was it hard to make that transition?
Oh my gosh, not at all. To be honest with you, it was depressing. You know what I mean? When you're so used to eating a certain way, and I had mentioned, you know, fried chicken, growing up and eating a certain way, and then all of a sudden, you know, your doctor is telling you, if you want to see a change in this condition, you're going to have to change your diet. So it was a little
bit. How did you go about it? Did you get help?
I definitely got help from a nutritionist, but not only that, I started to do research myself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love food. I love spaghetti and meatballs, you know? So instead of saying completely no to that classic dish, what I started to do was I started to do research. I started to look online. I started to look at Instagram. I started to, you know, Google things. And I saw that I can still have these amazing, delicious dishes, but just swap out some ingredients. So instead of, you know, making the classic spaghetti and meatballs with pasta, I would change the noodles and make something called zoodles, which is just zucchini, and just use a spiralizer to make it, you know, look like noodles.
Yes.
And then I would switch out the beef for turkey, ground turkey. And then instead of using breadcrumbs to bind the meatballs, I would use old-fashioned oats. So I would make, you know, kind of like an oatmeal consistency and use that as a binding agent and throw all of these veggies and amazing herbs and spices like garlic and parsley, basil to make it sweet. So that's what I started to do. I started testing recipes and ingredients and hence where Whole New You came about. And in that book is all of the recipes that I had worked up and made to heal myself and, you know, just eat good for you foods. And for me, healthy food can be delicious because I feel like if it doesn't taste great, you're not going to stay on that journey. You know what I mean? So I always love to just add lots of herbs and spices just to, you know, make a dish pop, should I say, or add personality to it. So, yeah.
So once you started making the switch, how quickly did you see the positive effects?
Yep. I would say I started seeing a change maybe three weeks to 4 weeks right away. I just started to feel better. I started to feel lighter. My skin started to look great. I mean, to be honest with you, like I said, I was doing this because of endometriosis, right? And I wanted to have a family. But then I started to see that my migraines went away. And my eczema started to go away. So I started to, you know, really start to heal myself inside out. And I really became a believer of how food can be medicine when I went on that journey. And I ended up getting pregnant with my first child, Cree, a year later after being on this new, you know, wellness journey.
Yeah.
And the first person I called, of course, was my mother when I found out I was pregnant. But then I called my doctor. And my doctor, her name is Dr. Kent. She's amazing. And she told me the first thing that came out of her mouth was it was because of that diet. Because we were on this journey together, and she knew that I was making that change. And when I told her, you know, I ended up getting pregnant, she told me that's why. So that's kind of like how my whole journey began with food, you know, can be medicine, it can be healing. And healthy food and good food for you does not have to taste boring. It doesn't, so. Yeah.
And did you start that journey and then stick with it the whole time? Or were there times when you had setbacks after?
I mean, of course you're going to have setbacks.
Through pregnancy and after giving birth.
Yes, of course I had setbacks or, you know, you kind of relapse. But I always like to see the new year here we are, hence, you know, I just ended up having a baby, and you have cravings, yes, you know what I mean? Yes. When you're pregnant and you want to, you know, eat anything and everything. Like, I was focusing on a certain way, of eating to get pregnant. And once I got pregnant, I was like, oh gosh, I'm having these cravings. But anyway, now that, you know, my baby is here, she's healthy, we're healthy, I'm back on that journey. And I always like to look at the beginning of the year as a way to refocus on your wellness journey and your goals, and to really embrace the whole new you, or the whole you approach for your body and your soul. And it all starts with making healthy, you know, delicious meals and snacks that taste great, so that you can stay on that track. That's how I do it.
So let's talk about some of those cravings and how you satisfy them in a healthy way. What are your cravings? What do you eat when you're craving sweet, when you're craving salty?
Yes.
What do you do?
Well, I think the main thing is, like, if I'm craving something, you know, salty, what I like to do is I like to make it's a popcorn snack that I have. And instead of loading it up with lots of salt, what you can do is put some garlic on there with some parsley. Kind of come up with your own seasonings that you can make yourself and just, you know, throw into your a popcorn bag or whatever. You shake it up and, you know, you just put herbs and spices in there just to make it really nice and appetizing for yourself. So that's one thing that I like to do. It's important for me to make sure that the whole entire family eats well. So I like to make sure that I give my son and my family, you know, some vegetables. And what I like to do is I like to add personality to those vegetables. So instead of just serving green beans, I'll make like this really nice glaze with some orange juice, some soy sauce. And then there you go. You have a very delicious, you know, green bean dish with a nice, you know, glaze on it. So you have that, and to make it sweet, I'll use maple syrup. So instead of using processed sugar, I'll use maple syrup. You can still get that flavor that you want, and that sweet craving, but instead of using white sugar, you can use sugar in its purest or natural form.
So what's your favorite veggie?
My favorite veggie would have to be broccoli. I like broccoli because it's loaded with fiber and it makes you feel full. And I think that's what's so great about vegetables. It's great for you. You can make it taste great for me, you know what I mean? And I like to put some tamari with some chopped up garlic in there just to make it, you know, delicious.
You're a garlic fan, aren't you?
I am. I love garlic. Garlic is like my favorite. So I love broccoli because it's just loaded with fiber and it makes you feel full, and, you know, so that's very helpful when you're trying to, you know, eat well, should I say.
And then what about fruit? You haven't talked about fruit, especially when it comes to sweet.
Yeah.
What's your favorite fruit? How do you
eat it? Oh my gosh. So I like to throw lots of fruits into veggies. So you can just get all of your fruit servings in one day, just in one, you know, should I say, not really meal, but snack, right? So the best fruits are berries, right? Because they're not high in calories or they don't have too much sugar. So blueberries, strawberries, raspberries. So I just like to throw all of that into a blender with some almond milk. You can put some, you know, maple syrup in there just to kind of sweeten it up a little bit. Yeah, so I love smoothies. And that's a great way to get your kids to eat their, you know, their fruits as well. And you can throw in some kale in there or some avocado and the kids will never know. Yeah, so.
And now, speaking of the kids, how do you find meals that the whole family will eat? Are there things that everybody, can you find meals that are good for you and for your diet,
yes,
the way that you like to eat, that your entire family will eat? Yeah.
Oh, yes, definitely. I think that's a good point. Like I said, I think one thing that my family, they absolutely love, and you can actually find this recipe in my cookbook, Whole New You, it's a fried rice. You know, that's a very, I would say it's a comfort food, right? But I like to switch it up and make it healthy. So I like to use brown rice. I'll throw some kale in there. And then I'll put some toasted almonds on top. But I'll saute it in some garlic, sesame oil, a little bit of tamari or soy sauce. And it is just so delicious and amazing. And, you know, everybody loves it. My husband loves it. I love it. My son loves it. It's quick. It's easy. You can also use some rice that's been left over from the night before, take out if you, you know, had some Chinese food or something. But yeah, that's like a great, quick, fast meal, I believe, that the whole family can truly enjoy. Yeah.
That yeah. sounds delicious. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit about this 360 approach to wellness. At My yeah. Body Green, we're all about not just one aspect of wellness, but everything in general.
Meditation so, and, yeah.
Yes, I'm just curious about what else you do. It sounds like you really nourish your body with yes. food. What other things are you doing? What does self-care look like for you?
Yeah. As you know, as a mom, it's really hard to give back to yourself. If you're a nurturer, you're always making sure everybody else is okay, and you're forgetting to really tap into yourself. But it's important, because I always feel like, how could the mother goose lay the egg if she doesn't take care of herself, right? So what I like to do when I'm definitely on that journey or doing more of it, which is what I feel like I really need to do, is meditation. I feel like meditation is really, really, really important to give yourself just 20 minutes of the day, whether that's in the morning or at night, and just to close your eyes and just to meditate and to bring your brain waves and just your stress level down.
What kind of meditation do you do, and what time of the day?
In the morning, definitely in the morning. On a good day, I'll do morning and night for 20 minutes. But what I like to do is I like to listen to music. And I'll put my little timer on my phone. And my husband and I, we actually do this together. Sorry, Corey, if you didn't want anybody to know that you meditate.
But that's awesome.
No, yeah, we do it together. And
do you try and get the kids involved too?
You know what's so funny? It's interesting that you say that, because my son, he'll walk in sometimes on us when we're meditating, and he'll know what's going on. And he's like, oh, and so, oh, okay, all right. And then he'll, you know, just kind of walk out, or he'll join in on the meditation and he'll sit down and do his little, you know, fingers, you know, like he's meditating. That's not what I do. I'll lay down on my back and I'll just breathe in and breathe out, and I'll make sure that it takes four counts to breathe in and then four counts to breathe out. And I just do that for 20 minutes. I keep it very simple. And I listen to music with no words, just so that nothing, you know, triggers me to start, you know, wandering off.
Thinking down another path.
Yeah, I just need to just have everything kind of just like calm down. And let me tell you, it is amazing what meditation can really do for you. It really, I don't know, it like really just resets you. And that's why I like to do it in the morning, mm-hmm. because it just kind of helps you start your day. And then at night, it kind of like the way you can end, you know, your day. So even sometimes when I'm in the hair and the makeup trailer, I'll like, you know, just say, okay, guys, I need to just meditate for about 20 minutes to just kind of help me regroup and center myself. So, yeah.
Right. I was going to say, how do you fit it in now, especially now that you have a little one at home, yeah, under one?
I know. You have to make time. Like, kind of like what I was saying, when you prioritize yourself, whatever, it was put to me this way. We make hair appointments. We make nail appointments. We make appointments. So you need to make an appointment with yourself. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Put yourself on that list, prioritize yourself, and take care of you. And that's what this whole thing is all about. You know what I mean? Just, you know, taking care of yourself and taking that time to take care of yourself. So, yeah.
I know that you've been into yoga in the past. Is
yes.
that something that you are still?
Oh, yes. It's definitely still a part of my life. I absolutely love yoga.
What type of yoga do you do?
When do you? I've done Bikram yoga before, but what I like to do is just do the vinyasa flow, which is it. The reason why I like it is because it's all about breathing. You know what I mean? And But most importantly, I love the way you set an intention at the beginning of every practice. And again, it's an amazing way to get you to refocus and center yourself and focus on something that you have gratitude about. And it's amazing how when you dedicate your workout for an hour on that one thing that you feel so thankful for, you really leave the room after an hour of giving to yourself, breathing in and breathing out. It just really makes you feel amazing. So it's yoga to me is not just about a workout. It's not about being, should I say, vain and all about looking great, you know, and having these muscles, which you end up looking amazing and, you know, leaned out when you do it. But it's more about how you feel afterwards. And that's what it is for me, that when I do it, I set this amazing intention. And then I just, you know, I feel great. I feel amazing afterwards, though.
And now, how else do you like to move? Did I hear something about basketball?
Oh, basketball? That was a while ago. My husband is a huge basketball fan. And so ever since I met him, that's when the whole kind of, and we've been together for 20 years. So that's when the love for basketball came about, because he loves basketball. he's not a part of it now, but he was a part of this. It's like this NBA kind of basketball kind of league for actors. So like people from like Snoop Dogg to Justin Timberlake to, I don't know, any actor almost every actor was a part of this league. Mm-hmm. And so I had coached his team. Did we win? I think we lost. Maybe that's why I'm not doing it.
Not about
it
who win or loses, no, right? Yeah. Can we talk about your skin for a minute? Yeah. I know that the audience can't see us right now, yeah, but you have such lovely glowing skin.
Thank you.
Can you tell us a little bit about it? I know that you mentioned that food was instrumental, yes, in your skin. Can you tell us a little bit about what,
yes,
you do to take care of it?
Yes. So I think a lot of people, including myself, sometimes when you're thinking about skin, you always think about what to put on outwardly, right? And you forget about what needs to happen on the inside in order for you to have, you know, glowy skin, should you say. For me, it's about hydration. I drink lots and lots and lots of water. I actually have this really cool jug where it has a timeline on it. So it'll say morning, and then it'll say 9 o'clock, and then it'll say 11 o'clock, and then it'll say around 2, almost there. You know,
that is so smart.
It's, yeah. And I found that when I just hydrate myself, my skin is just, you know, amazing. And then also, I know this may sound crazy, but eating lots of leafy greens. Mm-hmm. Like just eating lots of.
That's not crazy.
Yeah, but like I think some people don't really
make that connection,
yeah, that eating, you know, again, foods that don't cause a lot of inflammation in the body, mm-hmm, you really start to see your skin change. I know that when you stay away from sugar, when you stay away from dairy, I really see a huge difference, mm-hmm, in my skin. So, you know, that's basically, you know, what I do, you know, to really help with my skin. And of
Was
course,
that one of those first things that you noticed,
oh,
when,
yeah,
you were making that,
yeah,
when those dietary changes?
Yes, because remember I had mentioned that I had eczema. So I just started to see that my skin, like I no longer had the breakouts that I used to have when I stayed away from dairy. But I think, you know, I do have a routine where.
So now is your eczema pretty much gone?
Yeah, I mean, I'll notice it when they're called flare-ups when you have,
right,
them. So if I indulge, you know, mm-hmm, like I said, I have indulged in, you know, some dairy, and then it's crazy. You know, if I'm indulging it in a lot, like say for instance, if I'm eating it for like 2 weeks in a row, I'll have flare-ups, or my skin will start to break out, and so I'm like, okay, well, I know where that's coming from.
Right.
So yeah, and then, you know, I do have a morning and a night routine where, you know, I just clean my face and make sure when you go to bed, you know, if you wear makeup, wash your face. I know it's like, you know, like after
a little nagging.
After a long day, you're like, the last thing I want to do is like, you know, wash my face right now. But I think it's important too. And then I also just, you know, moisturize.
And especially as an actor, what do you do to cleanse and get off all that makeup and everything from the day?
You know what? I've really invested in this. It's kind of like a towel warmer, a kind of contraption or thing. I don't know what you call it.
Sounds like something you find in a spa.
Yeah, basically. And what I like to do is I like to put, you know, of course, warm them up in there. And then what I'll put is I'll put some essential oils on there and a cleanser. And I just, you know, use that over my face. And then I'll wash my face and then I'll finish it off with another towel. Just, you know, it just... It really helps. I mean, even my husband was like, Tia, what are you doing when there's skin? I'm like, so, you know, but that's what I do when, you know, as an actor, because I'm constantly putting on makeup.
And then what about what you put on? What kinds of moisturizer do you use?
Oh, my gosh. I use lots of moisturizers, to be honest with you. I always like to change it up because I think that your skin gets used to things. But what I like to do, my favorite thing right now, is just using vitamin C. So any product that has vitamin C infused in there, I think it's very, very helpful, for your skin. It just makes it radiant and vibrant for me. And then I also like to use just some natural oils that I'll, you know, put on my face morning and night. Yeah. So it's like in an oil based form. And of course sometimes that doesn't work for everybody. It depends on what kind of skin you have, but, that's what I'll do. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And what about sleep? As a busy working parent, as a the mom of a new little one, what does sleep look like for you?
There is no sleep. You mean I feel like I sleep? I'm sleeping now. No, I sleep while standing up. No. It's, you know, it's challenging, especially when you have a newborn at home. But this is what I'll say. I'll say that, of course, sleep is important, right, in order for us to feel great. So I'll get it in when I can. So say I'm working on, you know, I'm working on this show right now. It's called Family Reunion with Loretta Devine and Richard Roundtree, who was the original Shaft. And I'm just like in heaven every day working with these legends, should I say. But anyway, on our lunch break, what I'll do is I'll just take a quick 20-minute nap. And I'll just try to, you know, get in some shut-eye whenever I can.
Mm-hmm. What does that do for you?
It rejuvenates me. It really does. It just kind of makes me feel like I've just kind of reset myself for a minute. So moms out there, don't feel guilty if you need to take a nap. It is okay.
Take a lesson from the kids.
Right? Take a lesson from the kids. It's okay to take a nap. And so I just try to get naps in whenever I can. But sleep, I'm not, no. Yeah.
Now, after Cree was born, you wrote a book about pregnancy.
Yes.
And I'm so curious about what it was that you felt like wasn't being talked about pregnancy then, and what's changed between your first and your second children.
So I wrote Oh Baby, and that was a book about my pregnancy. And the reason why I wrote it is because, you know, Cree's my firstborn. He's 7 now. And when you're pregnant for the first time, you know, everything is new to you. And so, of course, you go out there and you start to do research and try to, you know, look at books and buy books that you can read to make you feel at ease, right? A lot of the books were very medically driven and they were so serious. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, you know, and then also some of the books weren't talking about the things that I was going through, you know, or even if they were serious, can we make light of it in some kind of way to say at the end of this pregnancy, everything's going to be okay? You know what I mean? Just because I have a bloody nose right now, it doesn't mean that, you know, something's wrong with me. You know what I mean? And people weren't necessarily talking about those things. So when it happened to me, like,
but is that a real example, a bloody nose?
Oh,
that's part
yeah.
Of it. That's one I hadn't heard of.
Yeah. And you know what? I got it with Cree and I got it with my daughter, Cairo. It's just the hormones. It just changes everything. And I would get these bloody noses. I'm like, oh my gosh, there's something wrong with me. Like, she's like, oh, and my doctor was like, my OBG was like, oh, that's normal. I'm like, what? Like, but nobody talks about this. Everybody talks about, you know, pregnancy being, oh, it was amazing. And if there are women out there that had a wonderful, bravo to you. I'm so happy for you. But for me, crazy things were happening. Like, I had to wear pads every single day. You know what I mean? Just from laughing. And I like to laugh a lot. You know what I mean? And I'm like, how come nobody told me this? So I wanted to just share, you know, my stories and share my experience with, you know, other women and make it fun and make it, even though, you know, some crazy things were going on, that didn't necessarily mean that you weren't going to have this beautiful, you know, little miracle at the end of your pregnancy. So that's why I wrote the book. And I had lots of fun writing it.
And what do you think about being a mom now? What do you think that parents struggle with that no one's talking about?
I think what a lot of parents are struggling with that no one is talking about, number one, is infertility. How hard it is to get pregnant. I think a lot of people think that when they see someone with a child that it was easy or that it happened right away. But I think that, you know, it's okay to share your story and to say, no, this didn't happen the way I thought it was going to happen. Or you know, it was very challenging for me to get pregnant. I ended up getting pregnant, but it was challenging. So I think the more we share,
our time can be so lonely.
Yes, exactly. I mean, it was very depressing for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When I found out that I had infertility issues, and you feel, you know, because people don't share their stories, you feel alone. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, it's okay to embrace your journey, even though your journey may have been different from someone else's journey, and to share that. Because the more we share and the more we become vulnerable, I feel like the more you are helping other people. I think another thing about parenting.
And just before we go on to that, what advice would you give to people who are at that stage now, who are struggling, who aren't there yet, who don't have a successful pregnancy?
Yeah, I think to never give up. I think that's, I mean, one thing that kept me going was, you know, make sure that you have a supportive group and make sure you talk about it. Because I think the more you bottle it up and you don't express yourself or what you're going through, the more, you know, it becomes difficult for you. So my advice would be to don't feel ashamed. You know what I mean? Even if you've had a miscarriage or, you know, your pregnancy is hard for you. I mean, it's hard for you to get pregnant. You know, talk to someone that you trust to share your story with. And it's amazing how you'll feel better after just releasing all of that energy. So that would be definitely my advice. And then to, you know, not give up. It may not have worked this time, but it doesn't necessarily mean that it will never work for you. You know what I mean? And then say it is not it is not in the cards for you to carry a baby. There are many other ways for, you know, you to have a baby, you know, whether that's surrogacy, whether that's IVF, you know, there are many ways that you can seek out to try and get pregnant. And just because it happened that way, it doesn't mean, you know, that you're less than or you're not a woman. You know what I mean? And I think the more we share these stories, the better, you know, people will feel. So that's my advice. Don't give up. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What's the best part about parenting?
Oh, my gosh. I think the best part about parenting for me is I feel like you as a parent, you are guiding a soul. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you are guiding these children into being amazing, beautiful human beings and souls. And I think that's what's just very rewarding to me, that I am helping guide my son. He's now, you know, in second grade. I'm helping him, you know, with, you know, being bullied at school, or I'm helping him learn how to read. I'm helping him learn how to cook. He loves being in the kitchen, by the way. But you're helping shape this individual and this soul. And I just think that that is just so profound, if you really think about it. You know what I mean?
It's a powerful responsibility.
It is. It is. It's hard, you know, at times, but it is so rewarding. And also what I love about parenting is that if you've had a bad day and you come home to your child, especially, you know, my little baby girl, and she's just smiling and laughing, you know, because I've done something silly, everything else goes away. You know what I mean? You just start to just really embrace in the simple things and embrace in the moment of her just making you laugh. She's laughing. And it just, you know, they're little miracles. They really are children. And, you know, they... It just, I love those moments when I come home and I'm, whether you're exhausted or tired from working all day, and then they just lighten up, you know, your day or put a smile on your face. So that's what I love about parenting. Yeah.
How do you get your kids in the kitchen with you? How do you get, that's it's a good, great that Cree loves to cook. How, yes. How did you make that happen?
Well, it all started with me trying to get him to eat his vegetables. And I said, you know what, maybe if I show him, you know, the process, or show him, you know, how it all works, because my son loves experiments and science experiments. So I was like, cooking, you know, it's science, basically, how you see how textures change when you put heat to it, etc. And I remember, you know, just making some carrots for him, and he didn't want to eat the carrots. And then I had, you know, showed him how I, you know, baked them and put seasoning on them, and then he ate it.
Once he was involved.
Yeah, once he was involved. And so, and then he saw what, you know, and even with, you know, he loves eggs, but he loved how you could look at eggs and then you see how they're kind of like soupy at first and then ooey, you know, they're just gooey, and then you put heat to them and then they look like clouds and they get fluffy. You know what I mean? So that's how I got my son in the kitchen, and he loves it. We have so, so much fun.
Yeah. What are his favorite things to cook now? Or what are your favorite things to cook together?
Breakfast. So eggs, you know, pancakes, but, you know, we'll do just eggs and bananas, instead of using the flour.
I was so surprised that worked when I tried that for the first time.
I know, right?
It feels like a pancake.
Right. And instead of putting sugar in there, you can put some amazing spices in there, like cinnamon and nutmeg. So he loves breakfast, and it's something that the family, what we do, like every Sunday, we'll cook breakfast together, and it's wonderful. We just have lots of fun.
So great.
Yeah.
You talked about doing attachment parenting with Cree.
Yes.
Is that something that you are still doing?
Yes.
What does that look like as he's grown up?
What that looks like as he's growing up is, you know, as a parent, of course, you have to...
Well, first of all, tell us what attachment parenting is.
So in my view of attachment parenting is I allow my son to, you know, dictate or have some opinions to what he wants to do. So as a baby, what attachment parenting looks like for me is when he's ready to get rid of the pacifier, he'll let me know. Or when he's ready to stop, you know, using the bottle, he'll let me know. When he's ready to, you know, not sleep with mommy and daddy, he'll let me know. You know, so it's not like me just saying, this is what you're going to do. You're going to do this. It's all about what I think. It's all about just allowing my son, you know, to be a part of his growth and his journey and what, you know, feels great to him. And, you know, my mom is very traditional. And, you know, when I first had my son Cree, you know, she was looking at me like I was crazy. She was like, child, you need to put that baby in his own crib and, you know, let him cry it out. And I'm like, Mom, no, I can't do that. And for some parents, that's okay. It works for them. But for me, I, you know, worked a lot. So when I come home, I, you know, want to spend time with my son. And if that means him sleeping in the bed with me, then that's what that means. And we're cuddling and we're, you know, kissing, you know, when he's giving me kisses, and it's just amazing. But he, once he was four, he was like ready, you know what I mean, to sleep on his own. And it was never a struggle. Does that make sense? Like, it was never like, he was just like, I'm ready.
There's, and I
was
not like, those three horrible nights of screaming.
Yeah. Right. It was like, okay, Mom, I'm ready. And then he went into his own little room and It was fine. And the same thing with, I'm like, Mom, my son Cree is not going to be sucking on a bottle. You know what I mean? When he's 8. He's not going to want to do that. So if he's, when he's ready, he's ready. So that's what attachment parenting to me looks like. Mm-hmm. It's not enforcing all of these rules and regulations on them. It's just you kind of work together, you know, with what works for you.
Right.
Yeah,
and that's something that you can do that as a busy working mom.
Oh,
I think
yeah.
That people think of it as something that you can only do if you're with your child 24/7. And
no, yeah, as a busy mom, you can find ways to, you know, do that, and that's exactly what I did. You know, so.
And what is your advice for busy working parents?
Oh gosh, my advice for busy working parents. I have lots of advice, actually. It starts from food all the way up for food, since, you know, we're talking about food. A slow cooker is a mother's or anybody's dream, should I say. You know what I mean? You just throw all of your ingredients. I have this amazing lentil soup recipe in the book, Whole New You. And you can actually just put all of those ingredients in a slow cooker. And then in the morning, it's all ready. When you go do your errands, whether that's working out, picking up your kids from school, taking your kids to school, whatever, your meetings at work, when you come home, you have a meal on the table for the family. Let's see. My advice for busy working moms are just, I would say, number one, forgive yourself. Because I think a lot of guilt sets in when you're a mom and you work a lot. I know that's what it was for me. And what helped me with that was when I changed my perspective that I want my son to see that mommy works hard for what she has, that nothing in life is just given to you. If you want it, you can go out and you can get it. And if you work hard, it's attainable. So once I started to focus on that, that is what really helped me kind of get rid of my guilt. I don't think the guilt 100% goes away for me, but when I changed my perspective, that's what really, really helped. So forgive yourself. So when you're at work, you know what I mean? Just know that it's okay. Also, I think prioritize spending time with your family. When I do have time to myself, I will give it to my, you know, my family. But with that said, because I talk to a lot of moms about this, and one mother in particular, she gave me this idea, and I would like to share it with you guys, that you have this pie, right? Certain slices of the pie are going to be smaller and bigger than others, and that's okay. So one week, you may spend more time at work than with your child. That's okay. Then the next week, it may be the other way around. You may spend more time with your child than at work. So everything doesn't have to be so balanced out. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely.
Like, yeah, and it's like that's okay.
Right. We have this vision of everything being exactly divided.
But
in this
yeah.
Way.
Or like, how do you balance things? That's often a question that's asked for moms with children or
just like that word of
balance
is getting pretty questioned.
Yes,
right
it is, because there's really no such thing as perfect, being perfect on that scale and finding that balance. I think certain days you spend more time with your children and your husband or whoever you're in a relationship with, and then certain days you're going to spend more time at work, and then certain days you're going to spend more time with your children, and it's okay. It doesn't have to be perfect, you know what I mean? So that would be my advice.
Definitely.
Yeah.
What gets you excited in the morning?
Seeing my children's faces, seeing their smiles. When my son comes in every morning, he comes and he runs in the bed and he just says, "Hi, Mommy," and he wants hugs and kisses. And that's going to stop one day. You know what I mean? When he gets married and, you know, he finds someone else to love and cuddle with. So I want to embrace that as long as I can. And just when I see my daughter, she has these big eyes, right? Her eyes are huge. And when she just wakes up in the morning for the first time and her eyes opens and then I go, "Hi there." And then she just puts this big old smile on her face. I'm like, "Ah, my day is made."
That's so sweet.
So that's what gets me excited. Mm-hmm.
What keeps you up at night?
Oh, gosh, that's a really good question. What keeps me up at night are the problems with the world. You know what I mean? And we, of course, we have, you know, a lot of issues. And whatever issue is at hand at that moment, whether that's a mass shooting or racism, inequality, whatever is going on at that moment, I tend to think about it over and over and over again. And so that's kind of like what keeps me up at night. Yeah.
Do you have any techniques for dealing with that when you have that kind of that kind of worry on loop?
I just talk about it. Like I was saying, I think it's important to express, and I'll just like literally, and it actually happened to me last night. You know, my husband's in LA, I'm here in New York, and I'm about to go to sleep, and literally like maybe 30 minutes into my sleep, I kept on thinking about it. I'm like, this isn't leaving me. So I just called my husband and we just hashed it out. And that just talking about it, you know, really kind of helps me. And then my husband's like, T, you got to go to sleep, you know? And I'm like, okay.
That's a good
and
partner.
Yeah. So, yeah.
What advice would you give to your 20-something self?
Advice that I would give to my 20-something self would definitely have to be, it's going to be okay. That whatever's meant to be, as long as you are working hard, you're being a good person, you're putting out good energy, everything will eventually fall into place like a puzzle, right? Because when you're in your 20s, it almost feels like the puzzle is like just all over the place and on the, you know, the table scattered or, you know, around. And you're like, oh, this looks like a mess.
It's never going to make sense.
No,
it's never going to fit together.
But then eventually, as you get older, it's like things just start coming into place. And you're like, huh, this is cool. So I would say that.
Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me. I hope I help inspired and encouraged someone out there. So thank you.
Absolutely.